All right. So our topic today is the Spirit and Paul's divine detour. And we just heard in the book of Acts how Paul is attempting to go to places that he thought he should go. And each time it says that the Holy Spirit forbid him either to speak or to go there. Till finally he came to Macedonia and he crossed over and he met a group of women. Now it was a man that was standing in his dream saying, come over, I want you to talk with us. But it's to women that he goes. And apparently there mustn't have been much of a Jewish presence in Philippi because there was no synagogue. So they're supposing that if they go by the city gate down by the river, they'll find a group of individuals who may be praying. And indeed, he finds the group of women. And when that happens, he begins to speak, and Lydia, who is a seller of purple cloth, a person of substance, a person who has most likely wealth, because she has a household, so we can assume that she had servants, and who knows who else accompanied her, may have been family, maybe some sisters, maybe her mother, maybe her father, but whoever, after she hears the message that Paul speaks, it says that she believed. And she had the household baptized. The whole household was baptized. Now, there's a case where a detour, something happened that was intentional for Paul to make a connection with a group of individuals that I'm sure he wasn't even sure who he was expecting to see. And it ended up being a bunch of women, Gentile women. Okay, now we've talked about all down through these past several weeks about how the Spirit turns the world upside down in the time of Jesus and in the following time when the church is beginning to grow. We heard about how Paul actually had a huge detour when he was blinded on the way to Damascus. And he was somebody who had a mission. He knew what he needed to do, and that was to go and find these people who were following Jesus and were corrupting the understanding of what it meant to be a Jewish believer. And so he's out to get them and to put them into prison. And on the way, he hits a big detour. And that's Jesus who blinds him. And he ends up changing his life forever. Talk about a detour. We hear again today that even though he attempts to do certain things, again, God doesn't says, you can't go there, but I want you to go here. And he, through the gift of the Spirit, changes the lives of those. And the first congregation that Paul establishes in Europe is founded through Lydia. Lydia is the first convert in Europe who believes. Now, I want to tell you a story that you've heard before, but I want to talk a little bit more about it in detail. So I'm hoping, are we all set up here? Ready to go? Thank you. About 4 years ago, just about the time that Pastor Frank was setting himself and readying himself to retire, and your call committee was being formed, there was a pastor in northwestern Pennsylvania who was beginning to think about the fact that maybe it's time the Spirit is leading him to move and bring the gospel somewhere else. And one of the things that I had been dreaming about was to be able to be perhaps doing two of the things that I love the most, to be a pastor and to be a winemaker. And now, through several years prior to this thought about doing these things, I had been working at a winery for an internship as I was working on getting accredited as a winemaker, getting a certificate through online classes and then having actual experience. And it so happened the winery that I was doing this was looking for an assistant winemaker. It just seemed like the dream opportunity. But it was a big change because it meant from going full-time as a pastor to part-time as a pastor, and then also then having part of my income supplemented by the work as a winemaker, which wasn't a whole lot. And so Judy and I sat down, we talked about it, And we thought, yes, this would be good. It was up in a little place called Northeast Pennsylvania, which is actually in the northwestern corner of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, we do weird things like that. And it was right along Lake Erie. You know, Judy loves water. Let's go up there. Let's take a look at it. And so we did, and everything fell together. But when it came time to it, God said, no, it's not the time. And I was disappointed. I really was. I was crushed. Now, about this time, now your call committee is beginning to formulate and getting a number of candidates that they're looking at, and one of them happened to be me, and they begin the search process. But before that happens, there are several other opportunities that show up. Actually, that should be Williamsport, Pennsylvania, where you know the Little League World Series is held. Vermilion, Columbus are both in Ohio. We went there, and for whatever reasons, whether it was the congregation or the call committee or us, God said, well, no, no, and no. About that time, then I get a call from the bishop who says, would you be interested in coming to Grand Rapids? I said, Grand Rapids? Why Grand Rapids? He says, well, number one, you're a friend of mine. He says, I think it's a great congregation. I think you should look at it. He says, but you need to know there's going to be several other candidates. You're not the sole candidate. I said, well, that's fine. Go ahead and put my name in. And so I believe I was the call committee's first candidate to interview. And we did a Skype, and it was fun. We had a good time. You know, it was kind of like, well, I don't know. We weren't really, Michigan wasn't on our radar. Judy was like, you know, I'm from Buffalo. We've been in northwestern Pennsylvania. Let's go someplace warmer. In the meantime, I get contacted by the bishop down in the Texas Louisiana Synod saying there's an opening in Lafayette, Louisiana, and a couple places in Texas. And, well, that was just a little too warm for Judy. So we just, I didn't even consider it. I said no. So we had our interview. In the meantime, Pastor Dave is talking about California. Two places. One was at Atascadero, the other one was Ukiah. And Atascadero was all set, and that fell through. And then just about the time we were looking at Ukiah, I got a letter from the call committee. And Ed, I found that letter the other day. And I think I'm going to frame it because it's a way of reminding me how the Spirit works. It was a letter just informing me that the call committee had determined that we weren't a good match. And it was a very nice letter. It was to say, we wish you well in your ministry. This is not a reflection that you were flawed. We didn't want you. It's just that it wasn't the right time and the right place. And Judy goes, okay? So we go off to Ukiah, and we're interviewing in Ukiah, and this is several weeks later, perhaps a couple of months. You've already gone through other candidates, and the call committee zeroes down to one or two, and they've come to choosing one. And to the heartbreak of the congregation, it doesn't work out. And I get a call just after, this is how this worked. We were sitting in an Applebee's in Ukiah, California. We had just sat down to dinner, had just completed our interview with the call committee at Ukiah, and the call committee chair says, we're going to have you come back because we're going to make that determination, and we'll let you know later tonight, but you're going to come back. We want you to come back. And so the bishop calls me and says, hey, I got a place for you in Michigan. I said, okay, where now? And he says, Grand Rapids. I said, Grand Rapids? I said, St. Luke's? And he said, yes. And I said, no, no. I said, you certainly got the word. I said, they found somebody else. He said, well, that's changed. He said, I'd really like you to consider it. Because he says, when looking at the list of people that they interviewed, they'd like to come back and talk to you one more time. I'm thinking, okay, God's saying, I got a place for you. It's called St. Luke's Grand Rapids. And I'm saying, but I want to go to California. Vineyards, wineries, ocean, sunshine. Notice that there's not a whole lot of mission involved there. And I'm saying that very thing to Bishop Craig. I said, I think I'm going to be going to Ukiah. I said, I think we need to say no to St. Luke's. Well, 3 days later, we get back to northwestern Pennsylvania, and this is what God says. I know where you want to go, but I have a community that needs you in Grand Rapids. The Ukiah just didn't work out. As much as they wanted us to come and we wanted to be there, it just wasn't going to work. And so I called up the bishop, and it was on the weekend. It was a Saturday. And I said to him, I said, Bishop Craig, I thought we were looking at California, but it's not going to work out. I said, did your assistant tell the call committee I'm not interested? He said, I don't know. I said, you don't know? He said, no, I don't. He says, Pastor Sarah's been away, and she's been the one that's been contacting the call committee here. So he says, we'll just have to wait to Monday to figure it out. So he calls me Monday. He says, no, they haven't said anything to the call committee. I said, well, put my name in. And this is where we end up. It is really, to me, one of the most amazing stories in my life. And I firmly, and I truly, in my heart of hearts, as much as the resistance, as much as, you know, everything, by the time we met with the call committee the second time, because Judy was still a little bit apprehensive, and I certainly, as my support and my care, my love, her participation in this decision was very important. And she was still riding the border. And after our second meeting, we sat down and we talked in the hotel room while the call committee was downstairs in the coffee room after we had our discussion. And she said, I think we're supposed to go here. So, and then Ed texted me the next morning saying, we'd like to present your name to the council. And I said, well, give us some time. We just kind of got up. We haven't had breakfast yet. And I think it was while we were at breakfast. So I said, well, here it is. What are we doing? And I said, do you want a couple of days to think on it? And Judy said, no, let's just do it. So after telling him it'll be a little while, we just texted back and said, yeah, we're coming. God's divine detour. And I want to suggest to you that it happens to all of us. This is not just one occasion. It's something that we all do. Each time we have plans, there are moments that things get disrupted. And maybe they don't seem to make sense to us. Maybe it's an inconvenience to us. Maybe it's heartbreaking and it's upsetting. But there are times, you know, that even if you're talking about the physical detours that we may see on the roadway, you know, it's just going to eat up more time. You got to, oh man, it's going to take me 20 more minutes to get, I'm going to be 5 minutes late, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. We get anxious about it, we get ourselves worked up about it, but you know what? Eventually you get there. But there are times that I truly believe that God places these roadblocks in our lives to wake us up, to bring us to where we need to be. And I believe this congregation and Judy and I are living proof of that. There are times that I think God also puts roadblocks up into our minds because we begin to develop certain understandings and certain ways in which we think and the ways in which we feel our lives are being directed. I could tell you other stories similar to this one, but not quite to the impact. But there were times, there were things that I wanted to do that God said, no, you're going over here. And it changed me. It changed me personally, and it changed the whole direction in my life. If I had not done those things, I don't know that I would be here today. Because each step that I've taken, at times when I'm thinking I'm supposed to go to my right, God says, no, you're going to go to your left. Each time I sit down and I look at Scripture, and it's so much fun on Tuesday afternoons and Wednesday evenings when I get together with a group that gathers together, we talk about the upcoming Sunday's lessons, the lectionary study. I can look at these lessons. Now, I've been doing it for 33 years. And you'll have people who will come in and they're a little sheepish about it because they say, you know, I've never really been to a Bible study before. I don't know what it's about. I don't know a lot about the Bible. It's like, hey, it's okay. Come, be a part. We'll grow together. And oftentimes, they'll find this amazing thing in the scripture passage, and they'll just say, I don't quite understand this, but this is, I'm looking at this, and this is how I understand it. And it's like, I've been looking at this passage for 50 years of my life, and I never saw it that way. Little mental detours. God that opens up other ways that we go. And when we talk about, the Spirit that has a way of upsetting our life and turning us around, I think sometimes it pushes us to understand that there are moments that we stereotype people, there are moments that we discount people, there are moments we discount ourselves, when God is the one who who will show us what exactly we're about and what the people that we say, oh, we don't want anything to do with, are about. So when Paul speaks to Lydia and her group, just like Peter with Cornelius, what happens is Lydia invites him back to her home. This is a Gentile woman, and these very devout Jewish men who have followed these certain traditions and cultures that have been ingrained in their life accept this. This is the first time that Paul truly breaks with Jewish custom. And I'm sure even though the Jerusalem Council gave him permission to minister to those in the Gentile community, probably weren't expecting him to kind of push it that far. Remember how much hot water Peter got in for being at the home of Cornelius and for talking to them and for Pete's sake, for baptizing them. Now that may not seem like much to you, but in those days, that was a huge divide. It would be much like what's been going on in the relationship between this nation and Cuba. We don't associate with communists. We don't do these kinds of things. Fidel Castro's bad. All these things that we've learned, and there are those who are just up in arms over the recent dialogue and conversation and the fact that there are U.S. companies now that are going to be reestablishing roots and ties with Cuba. But in some ways, that doesn't impact us as much either. To bring it closer to home, last time we talked about Paul and Cornelius, I mentioned about the first woman who was ordained. That was two weeks ago when we talked about Dorcas and Tabitha. 45 years ago, the church had a tremendous upheaval with that decision because the custom and the traditions of the church and what Scripture says is this way. And Paul, just like us and everyone else, we face a detour. But I thought it was this way. And God's saying, no, it's this way. Because your sisters in Christ also have a gift to preach and proclaim. And now we face the same issue with the same gendered understanding. And I'm not suggesting to you, you need to think one way or the other, but what I'm suggesting to you is that as we look at this, is it something that we take deeply personal? Is it about us? Or is it our refusal to be able to see maybe God is trying to point us in a different direction than where we thought we should be? I don't know. But that's the struggle. That's what happens when we're in the midst of our detour experiences. We don't know, where is this road going to take us? All I know is that as God proclaims, as we hear in Revelation, we know that in the end, that God is going to be present with his community. His throne will be in our midst. His promise will be with us forever. Jesus tells those as he's speaking in his farewell discourse about the fact that don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Even though your life changes around you, the one constant is that Jesus Christ is center and that my love will never leave you. And through all the doubts and uncertainties, and the changes and the course swings that we take as we look at visions for St. Luke's, as we see plans and images of where we'd like to be, we need to be prepared that there may be down the road a detour that sends us in a different direction. We don't know. But that's the divine detour. And so each of us, in our own way, we need to pray, we need to open our hearts and our minds to the way in which the Spirit works, to see perhaps maybe in the moment that we feel our life is shifting, we're not sure where we're going, that we just simply ask God to be in our midst and lead us, to just simply say, "Here I am, God, send me." Amen.